Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these. وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا. And they take the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as jokes. They ridicule the ayats of Allah. No. You know, and they used to do by saying he's a sha'ir, he's a poet, he's invented it, he's this and all of that, that shaitan has taught him these ayats. And today, there are different ways of ridiculing the ayats. Most Muslims, inshallah, will never ridicule the ayat of the Quran saying, you know, what kind of a joke is this? But there are some who say, you know, it doesn't make sense. That's ridiculing the ayat of Allah. Who are you? Doesn't make sense to you. You need to have your head examined. Okay, it's your ignorance. Or they say, well, this doesn't apply. Who are you? Those who say, well, I will understand it whichever way I want, not how Allah's Rasul and the Sahaba understood it. That's the same thing. Or you act according, opposite of what Quran says, that's the worst, that's ridiculing the Quran. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُّهِينٌ. These are the one, لَهُمْ, certainly, with certainty, lamb of ta'keed, for him, for them are عَذَاب, the punishment of Allah, muheen, that will humiliate them. Why the humiliation? Because they are acting arrogantly against the word of Allah. They are saying, oh, this is, they are making jokes of it, okay? They are rejecting it. And that rejection comes primarily because of kibr, of arrogance. The Quraysh were arrogant about it. Today, when people don't act according to the Quran, it is because of the arrogance. You know, I'm a PhD. It doesn't make sense to me. PhD in what? In physics. Right? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes them further by saying, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا. When our verses are recited to them. Now that is a privilege for someone to have the words recited. Now imagine someone who the words of Allah being recited to by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is coming to you and reciting the words. The words of Allah conveyed by Jibreel alayhi salam, by the best of Allah's creation. You are a privileged person that you are hearing him from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have that privilege. So when that is done, what do they do? Walla mustakbiran. They turn away. Mustakbiran, out of kibr. Out of arrogance. Now what is this? What is this? Yasma'aha. Mustakbiran ka'allam yasma'aha. As if they do not hear it. Ka'anna fi udunayhi waqra. As if in their ears there is a deafness. Means the words of the Quran are being recited at that time to the Quraysh and they acted, they didn't hear. In fact, some of them said to, you know, when it was having an influence on some people, they were accepting Islam. When new people used to come and into Makkah, the kuffar used to tell them what? Don't listen to one man because he will do magic on you. And if you do happen to be there, plug your ears. Kannam uzunahi waqra, as if they are deaf. And one of the Sahabi came and he went there and then he said, you know, I'm an intelligent man. I should be able to figure it out. So he took out the plugs and when he heard the words of Allah recited by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted Islam. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about such people, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. The word bashara generally is used for good news, glad tidings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to these people, وَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. A very painful punishment. Give them the glad tidings, the good news. Now, you can take it in two ways. How is this a good news? One is that there is an element of sarcasm. But there is another thing, because this is being given to people who are still alive. So if they are given the news that there is a painful punishment, they can change their lives. Then that message has become a bashara for them, a good news, because it saved them from hellfire and them into Jannah. Is that clear? But it can also be the understanding of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the element of sarcasm instead of saying, give them the bad news of a painful punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, again, going back to the opposite of these people, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقًّا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Again, the word Al-Hakim, Allah's name, comes in here. Opposite to these people who take the Quran as for ridicule and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, those who have iman, and iman is not a claim. Whenever iman comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also paired it with something. What has He paired it in the Quran with? Amal salih. That is not just a claim, it has to show by good deeds, righteous actions. So that's another pair in the Quran. Okay, we talked about the first one, which was salah and zakat. Iman, amal salih. That iman has to be manifested by, iman is in the heart, nobody knows, you claim whatever, but it has to be manifested by actions. Amal salihat. So one who has iman in their hearts and shows it by acting according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstaining from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing things as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did them, with the niyyah of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of that is what qualifies it as amal salih. If the niyyah is not correct, it's not amal salih. If it's not a command of Allah, it's not, you know, amal salih. If it's not beloved to Allah, it's not amal salih. If it's not done according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not amal salih. So for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lahum, again, indeed, definitely for them, jannatun na'im, gardens, not one, gardens of eternal delight, na'im. So that one was, adhabin alim, a painful punishment, jannatin na'im, the opposite. And what does it end? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will live in there forever. Khuld is eternity. There is no end. Because even in dunya, you can have moments of great ecstasy and pleasure and this, but they always come to an end. Okay. There is no end. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms it again by saying, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ. He could have finished, this is the promise of Allah. And Allah never breaks His promise. But He doesn't stop. They say, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. It is true, indeed true. Allah doesn't have to say it is true. Because just the fact saying, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ, this is a promise of Allah. It has to be true. He says, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. He's stressing it that this is definitely going to happen. And who is saying this? وَهُوَ. And He is Al-Aziz, the Mighty, with all the power to do whatever He wants. And Al-Hakim, the Wise One. It is Allah's wisdom that we are here on this earth. It is Allah's wisdom that there is a day of judgment. It's Allah's wisdom that there is a Jannah and a Nar. There is Allah's wisdom that tests will come to us to prove our iman or disprove our iman. Allah will challenge us that this is a place where you will be tested. This is the place where you've been given the choice to sow seeds. And it's His wisdom that He has withheld the harvest for you over there. The real harvest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contrasts us the wisdom of following the scripture, the right path, the good deeds to Allah's pleasure, following in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the opposite of that, lead your lives, enjoy the songs, enjoy the music, enjoy whatever you want, your nafs wants, and the theories that go along with it. Every day there's a new theory about how to derive maximum pleasure, how to be maximally happy in this life. You know, happy hour, that's happiness. Money is happiness. And so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us what true happiness is. So, as a translation, yet among mankind are those who purchase, who traffic in idle talk, music, dance, without revealed knowledge in order to lead people astray from the path of Allah. And they make fun and mockery of His verses. For these there is a disgracing punishment. When our verses of the Quran are recited to such a person, he turns away arrogantly as if he did not hear them, as if his ears are afflicted with deafness. So give him the tidings of a painful punishment. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds, for them are gardens of delight, wherein they will dwell forever. The promise of Allah is indeed true, and He alone is the overpowering, the all-wise. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next two ayats specifies this over, what is the power of Allah? He just gives two examples. By His creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خلق السماوات بغير عمد ترونها وألقى في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم وبث فيها من كل دابة وأنزلنا من السماء ماء فأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج كريم هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه بل الظالمون في ضلال مبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses, خلق السماوات بغير عمد ترونها. He created the heavens. Samawat are the heavens, everything that you see above you. بغير عمد, without any pillars or supports around that you can see. Literally it means it created without any pillars that you can see, which can have two meanings. One, there are no pillars, therefore you don't see them, or there are pillars that are invisible, you can't see them. Something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are being held up like this. So obviously there are certain forces, there is powers, energies that keep things from collapsing. So I was reflecting about it and I thought, what could we sort of equate this to? So just think of it, you have a big balloon and you are a grain inside that balloon and you blow the balloon up this big and you are a grain in it. You look around, everywhere you look, there is a sky, the inner wall of the balloon. What is holding it up? Do you see any pillars holding up these things? No. What is holding it up is the laws that Allah has created, that pressure of the air inside the balloon keeps it like this. And the moment something wrong happens, it collapses. And one day the heavens are going to collapse. So there are forces, whether it's from here, whether they're gravitational forces, whether they're energies from the black holes or whatever it is, holds things up. There are no pillars you can see. So it's something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking our attention above us, look around. When you look at that, just imagine the power of the one who created it. Al-Aziz. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the earth. You know, you're familiar with the earth. Wa alqa fil ard. And Allah has embedded, He has set in this earth, rawasiya, mountains. We look at the mountains, we are in awe of the mountains, no matter where you go. Last, we were traveling, we went through the Berkshire, we went through the Adirondacks this last weekend. And these are not the world's greatest mountains. But look at the massive sizes of lies embedded. Look at the Himalayas, look at the Alps. Look, wherever you go, you see mountains embedded. And look at how massive and strong they are. And Allah says, who put them there? And then He tells us, Antamida bekum, so that you don't shake and tremble with this. And that also is similar to Allah has put these as counterweights, because there is water on this earth. And anything that has water and that moves, what does it do? It creates forces of jiggle. And Allah has countered those weights by putting mountains so that the earth doesn't jiggle as it goes around. Just like we put lead weights on our wheels, wheel balancing so that it doesn't vibrate. So those pieces of lead are what Allah has put as mountains, because the earth is spinning much faster than what our wheels spin. And it's got water on 2/3 of its surface. So Allah is reminding us of this. وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّ, and He has spread on this earth every kind of creature. creature that we know, that we don't know. I can guarantee you there are creatures in this room that you're not seeing right now. And if you were to see them, you wouldn't know what they are, what their names are, what their species is, what their genus is. And like that, multiply that millionfold. And then you go underwater, under the sea, many more. Every kind of creation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread under the title of one word, life. That's what they look for on Mars and Moon, is their life. And Allah has given varieties of life, and life we have to think. And in that life is us. And us is not a unit. 13 or 14 trillion cells, each one has life, that make, compose me and you, right? How many millions of rods and cones in your retina? Millions that compose life. How many red cells are destroyed every day? Living, become dead, and so on and so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, think of all of this to recognize Al-Aziz, the power of the Almighty. Now all of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his singular form, Khalaqa, he created. Now that changes, wa anzalna, and we. Now that singular becomes we. Now sometimes people get confused. The Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we. Is Allah, we thought Allah is one. How is he using the plural? Well, this is a plural, as we know, of majesty, of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala employs his forces, his angels and other things, he says, uses the word of plural, plural of majesty. Wa anzalna ilayka al-kitab. We have sent down on you the book. Who is this we? It is Allah. Plural of majesty, but in that process, we, Jibreel, brought it down to you. And so on and so forth. Similarly, wa anzalna mina sama'i. And we send down from the heavens ma, water. We send it down because there's an angel coming down with each drop. Where it is to land, how much it is. The rain is not, it's how much rain has to come, what the size of each drop has to be, where it is meant to land, whether it's going to produce benefit or harm, whether it's going to cause flooding, whether it's going to cause the crops to grow, whether it's going to wash out the seeds, whether it's going to be withheld so that the land dries and dies. All of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ زَوْجٍ كَرِيمٍ. And with that, we bring out the nabat, the vegetations from this earth, in pairs. زَوْجٍ كَرِيمٍ. Everything Allah created in pairs. Everything is created. Plants are in pairs, animal, everything is in pairs. Allah is the only one unpaired by himself. After telling us this about his power, he says, هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. This is the creation of Allah. And he hasn't mentioned everything. Just given a few words, these ayats are very brief. Look in the heavens, look on the earth, look within yourself, look at the creatures, look at the water coming down. Just a few phenomena. This is the creation of Allah. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ. So, show me what other than him have created. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. What have others created? خَلَق. The word خَلَق means to create from nothing. Not that you take a piece of wood and you cut it and make it into a table or a furniture. That's not khalaq. That's taking what is already there. Khalq is to create out of nothing. Only Allah does that. He is the khalq, the creator. So we should be careful when we use the word creation. That, he created a new device. No, he didn't create a new device. He invented a new device. So be careful of the word creation. Because only Allah is Al-Khaliq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, show me what they have created other than Allah. The answer to that is, what are you going to show? There's nothing to show. Therefore, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, بَلَ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Zalimun, those who do dhulm, and the ultimate dhulm, injustice, is to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to assign partners to Him, to think that others have powers. مِن دُونِهِ, other than Him. So anyone who thinks that is a zalim. And the word zalim, injustice, injustice is to, you know, the greatest injustice is that Allah is the creator, He created you, He gave you everything, and you deny Him. That is the ultimate of injustice, of dhulm. The word dhulm also comes from darkness. So when you don't have the truth, you have, and truth, guidance, is frequently in the Quran compared to what? Noor, light. Because guidance gives you something that you can see. Hidayah, Noor, all of that is called. And opposite of that is called Dhulm, Dhulumat, darkness. That a person is in darkness, he can't see his way around. Okay, figuratively speaking, if you turn all the lights off, somebody will trip, somebody will fall, somebody will harm themselves. But when you have light, the light of guidance, you can navigate through life in the proper way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that. So some of the scholars have, when the word singular is used, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Himself, about His sifat, He talks usually in the singular. And when He talks about actions that He has done, which involve angels and all, is frequently in plural, and also of majesty. So we shouldn't get confused about that. Now comes the ayats 12 to 19 of Luqman alayhi salam. I thought I was going to finish till 19, but it's an hour and 3 minutes already. So we're going to have to put that off, which is good that we'll start fresh with the advice of Luqman alayhi salam. And what's also good is, now it gives you 3 weeks to study the 9 ayats of Luqman alayhi salam, what the advice is, and reflect on it, and write, type a few pages each one, because this is an advice of the father to the son, and most of us of our parents here. Why is this so important that Allah has immortalized it in the Quran? And what is the importance of the advice of the father or the parents to the child? Because that is what you're going to leave behind. Your legacy is your child. And the advice is priceless. And unfortunately, when many of us were growing up and we were ready to have children, nobody taught us this. We did not know the advice of Luqman alayhi salam. So those who are there now, who still have children, and we have children that we can still teach, this is just priceless advice. So how priceless? That Allah has taken the words of an African slave who was not a messenger and made it part of His book for us. That's how priceless it is. And how are you going to show Allah and show me as your teacher or companion that you value this? By studying it yourselves and writing about it, reflecting on each one of that. And then that will be part of our next class. And we will go over these ayahs 12 to 19 of Surah Luqman. Okay. And then we will, inshallah, take lessons from that. And there is books written over it. So it's homework for all of you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this session from us and make it a means of deliverance from His displeasure into His pleasure, a means of making us among the muflihun, the successful, not the dalun, who go astray, people of hikmah, not the people of dhulma, of darkness, people of nur, the people who Allah is pleased with, and not those who are deserving of His punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand these words, to embrace these words, to understand these words, to give us hikmah, to act on them in the proper way. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life to meet again in a few weeks to continue to study his words and the advice, the priceless advice of Luqman alayhi salam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.